introduction. You know, the Bible, the kingdom of heaven, and the Bible itself reveals the order of the kingdom of heaven. You know, God always has a divine order. Can I hear a holy grunt? He has a divine order. You know, sometimes, you know, we get our way and we think it ought to be this way or that way or the other way, but God has a divine order. And you know, it's a funny thing I found out about God over the years. I found out this scripture verse is very, very true. He says, I am the Lord God that changeth not. And I found out that if I don't change, he sure isn't. Amen. Now, you can be hard-headed. You can think you've got a better idea than God's got. You think you've got it figured all out. But I'm going to tell you what, God's got his order. And unless we follow in his divine order, we do it his way. I'm going to tell you what, things will not go well with you. Amen. So, you know, I mean, we see it first of all in creation. God had a divine order. He restored things. In Genesis 1, we read there, he restored things in divine order, didn't he? He had a certain day he started out and he culminated. The last thing he did is he created mankind, man and woman. And even in that, and it went on over even in the creation of man and woman, God had an order there. He says he created the man first and then the woman. Oh, I know that goes over good nowadays, doesn't it? Now, don't get mad at me. You know, if you're going to get mad at God because he did it. And, you know, and even in the marriage covenant that's brought over in the New Testament, you know, and he has a divine order. You know, guys, you're supposed to be the head of your house. Well, some of you men just didn't say a word. Is that because your wife's sitting there? You know, maybe you might be like the guy that said, you know, he said, I'll tell you one thing. Bless God, I run things around my house. You better know it. About that time his wife walked up, he said, I run the washing machine, the vacuum cleaner. But God has a divine order that he has put. And listen, when we get out of that order, things don't work right. You know, and here's the thing. You know, I think in today's culture and society, a lot of times we have the perspective like the king's new clothes. You remember the story of the king's new clothes? I mean, the emperor's new clothes, whatever, king, emperor. He was a knucklehead anyway, wasn't he? But here's the thing. You know, his new clothes were that he had no clothes. So he's walking around, but yet everybody is so intimidated, so afraid to say anything. Everybody's like, oh, yes. Oh, isn't it great? Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Look at this. Isn't it wonderful? And finally, some little kid said, hey, he's naked. And boy, he ran off and changed. Somebody finally spoke the truth. And you know, in our society and culture today, where everything, we got to be politically correct and we got to be careful we can't say anything. I mean, pretty soon, you know, it's going to be wrong to say anything about anything. You can't make any judgment. You can't say anything. But I want to tell you what, God's word has not changed. And the standards that God set is the standards that you and I are going to be measured out and judged by. And you know, and that's another thing. We don't like judgment because judgment implies that somebody might be wrong. Oh, God forbid that you should be wrong. But he has his order. And when we get out of that order, things don't go well with us. You want to know the problems with our society, the problems with our government, the problems with our economy, the problems with the family and the marriage? Every bit of that traced right back to the fact that we get out of God's divine order. You know, you go and you buy, you know, Now, what was it we saw yesterday? That Mustang was $72,000. $72,000. You go buy you a $72,000 Mustang, brand new one, Shelby, special order, beautiful car, get that thing, you come out there, and you pop the hood, open the radiator, put the gas in the radiator. Then you open up the gas tank, and you fill it up with water. Then you try to run the thing. And man, I mean, you know, something's wrong. These cars don't work. It's just not right. What's going on? I've paid all this money and I can't get it to work right. You know, but you know what's worse than that? Is somebody to just sit in the car and pretend it is working right. And that's where we are in our society. We're saying, hey, anything goes, but you know what? It's okay. Everything's good. There's nothing really wrong. All we need to do, you know what? The next election will fix it. Isn't that what the world thinks? Oh, it's going to be the next election. It doesn't matter. Whoever you're for. Okay? I ain't getting into that. But, you know, we think the next election will fix it. The next Congress sitting will fix it. The next Supreme Court judge appointed will fix it. Well, if some of us have been around long enough to know, that ain't quite right. Because as long as I can remember, and there's a few of you older than me, as long as you can remember, I'm telling you what, it hadn't fixed it yet. Why? Because we've moved away from the divine order that God has established for us. How many of you know that the guy that made the car, that $72,000 car, the people that made it know how it's supposed to work? Isn't that right? That's why they designed it the way they did. And so if you'll just get in line, if you'll come into agreement with the manufacturer of the car and put the gas where they said the gas goes and the water where the water they said it goes, when you get in, that thing's going to crank and you're going to actually get to go somewhere, not just pretend you're going somewhere. There you go, hon. Preach it. Read the owner's manual. That's right. Listen. So what am I saying here? Principles of first things, divine order is important. You know, it amazes me. A lot of Christians, I can ask this. I say, how many want God's best? And everybody nods their head and raises their hand and amens and everything. But here's the thing. Then we turn around and we try to run our life in the opposite way that God said it's supposed to be ordered. And then we come all crying and whining to the pastor and say, I tell you what's wrong. He's a meanie. God's mad. God loves other people better than me. I've heard it all. That's like, blaming the car manufacturer. I said, no, wait a minute. Here's the problem. Look here. You took the spark plugs out. It won't crank without the spark plugs, honey. Amen. So we're going to talk about some first things. Listen, here's the principle. What you put first will determine the order of the rest. What you put first will determine the order of the rest. It will return. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. I want to read a scripture here. 5. I'm going to read verse 23. What you put first will determine the order of the rest. The reason a lot of people's marriage is all whacked out is because of this very principle. You didn't put first things first. You didn't get it in divine order. Husbands abdicate their authority at home. They don't take their responsibility. They don't take their place. I'm going to tell you what. You're going to have a mess at home. You're going to have a mess in your marriage. And you want to go off and blame that woman that God gave you. We've heard that before, haven't we? All the way back to Genesis. God, it was that woman. It's her fault. Listen, God didn't buy it then, and he ain't buying it now. Thank you. Appreciate it. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. It says, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice here, we're talking about divine order, and here's the order. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Most Christians, even full gospel, word of faith, Pentecostal, tongue-talking, charismatic, whatever our labels are. You know what? We reverse that. It's body, and then soul, and then spirit. And we wonder why we're having a difficult time. Amen? We cater to the needs of our body, our appetites of our flesh. We're going to take care of that. Bless God, I don't care what happens. Come on. Bless God, I'm getting my three squares in. I can guarantee you that. I'm going to eat, and I'm going to eat good. Come on. But how many times a day are we feeding our spirit? I like what, quoting F.F. Bosworth, he said this. He said, we feed our bodies three hot meals a day, our spirit one cold snack a week, and then we wonder why we don't have faith. Wonder why I don't have victory. Wonder why we don't see the miracles. I've had people tell me, well, I just don't understand, Pastor. How come all these other nations, everything, we're seeing all these miracles and everything? I'm going to tell you why. Because they got the order right. You go to most of those places, listen, they're spending all night in prayer. Yeah, that's all night. And then they work the next day. Come on. They fast and pray. They're in the Word of God. They're crying out to God. They're seeking God. That's more important to them than having a new car. Oh, I don't know if I'm in the right church or not. I hope I am. Okay. Spirit, soul, and body. See, what we put first will determine everything else. If the needs of the body are put first, it's going to lead to the pursuits of the flesh. Turn over to Galatians 5. You're close there. I want to help you out here. We're talking about putting first things first. 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Listen to what he says here. He said, "But I say by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh." If you walk by the Spirit, what? Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're having problems with your flesh? I can tell you exactly what you're doing. You're not doing this. You're not walking by the Spirit. Because he says if you walk by the Spirit, the flesh won't rule over you. If your flesh is ruling you, guess what? You or God are lying. I've had people tell me that. And show them this verse. Oh, I'm doing that, Pastor. I said, I'm sorry. God's a lie. Just forget the whole thing. Well, he says if you walk in the Spirit, what? Put the Spirit first. If you walk after the Spirit, if you get in God's divine order, what's he say? He says what? Then you what? You won't fulfill. In other words, the flesh will be subservient. The flesh will serve you rather than you serving it. I mean, you know, the flesh says, let's do this, and you go do it. Flesh says, I want this, and you go get it. Give me this to eat. Give me that. Give me this. Give me that. Give me this. Give me the other one. Got one woman, I want another. Oh, done gone to meddling now, hadn't I? Come on. Put spiritual things first. Okay? And it will bring into submission the soul and the body. That's the way God has made it. The Spirit was meant to rule. Your human spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit right now. I'm talking about the human spirit. The human spirit that you have was meant to rule your life. And with the life of God coming into your human spirit, with the Holy Spirit dwelling your human spirit, then you were supposed to live out of that. And from that, it would keep subservient your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your body. I mean, you know what your body is. I think and isn't it amazing how many Christians are more in tune with their body than they are with their spirit? You know, a lot of people not here in church this morning. You know why? They didn't feel like it. Their body told them, not today. Let's take it off today. Come on. You know, you get ready to fast this week, your flesh is going to talk to you. Oh, buddy, is it going to talk to you? Ooh, let's eat. Oh, man. But here's the thing. If we don't come into divine order with God, listen, we will never... Listen, we're just kidding ourselves. It is just a fantasy. It is just a pipe dream. It is just... it's not real, even though it may sound biblical. We start talking about miracles. We start talking about reaping the harvest. We start talking about seeing God pour out His Spirit. Listen, we are fooling ourselves. Because if we don't get first things first, church, listen, all this other stuff, you know what it is? It's just hype. Got a lot of Christian hype nowadays, don't we? Oh, yeah, I know exactly what to say, and you know exactly when to say amen. It's all hype. But Jesus said, you know, the Bible teaches us that, listen, the Word does us no good until we become what? Doers of it. And so we have to put first things first. So I want to talk about some of the first things that the Bible brings out very clearly. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. We're going to talk about some first things. And how many know that there is nothing that precedes first? Duh, huh? Even I got that one. Isn't that right? But sometimes we think it is, don't we? Because if we put anything ahead of what God calls first, then what? We've changed the order. If we change the order, we're going to change the results. Isn't that true? Got any mathematicians in here? Amen. None? Got one, Rick, back there. Well, we all of us have taken enough math to know this. If you get in, especially you get into, well, even the simplest mathematical problem, but you get into algebra and calculus and you've got the formulas and everything, you take things out of order and out of sequence. And I got news for you. I don't want to be living in that house you built. I don't want to be driving across that bridge you built. Isn't that right? Because you get it out of order, you mess everything up, and your results are not going to be what you want. And listen, God created us. He made us in His image, spirit, soul, and body. He knows the right order. He knows the way that if we will order our lives correctly, then you know what He said? He said, beloved, your soul's going to prosper, and you're going to prosper. And He said, you'll eat the good of the land. And God will be able, even more importantly than that, to flow through us to reach a generation. Isn't that right? I want to reach a generation. I want to make a difference in my lifetime. Don't you? I don't want to just somebody look. You know, one of these days, if the Lord tarries, every one of us, somebody could go out to the graveyard, see our name on a tombstone, and see a date here, a dash, and a date. You know, and the thing is, unless they knew us very well, they will have no idea what that dash, what does it mean? That was your life. That dash. That's your life, that dash. Seems kind of trivial putting it that way, doesn't it? But here's the thing. I want the dash between the two dates of my life to mean something, to count something for eternity. I don't want it to be just that I own two or three or four houses and you know, and paid a lot of electrical bills and owned a couple of nice cars and drove, you know, and wore this and wore that. What difference does that make? But I do the things that matter. The eternal things, that's where I want to make a difference. Matthew 5:23. We're talking about divine order and first things. He said, Jesus is speaking, verse 23. If you therefore are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift. What does he mean? Public acts of worship do not fix our private acts of strife and unforgiveness. So many people come into a service like this and, oh, they're going to sing and they're going to lift up hands. Or some people come into this place and you have problems. You have problems singing. You have problems open your mouth. You can't lift up your hands. You have problems there. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It might be because you haven't put things first. You might have a problem with unforgiveness. There might be strife. It might be between you and your spouse. It might be between you and somebody in the church. It might be that you're mad at somebody. You have unforgiveness. And you come and try to worship and you can't. And even if you try it, God says your worship will be unacceptable. We think we can come in and just live any kind of way. We don't have to live right. We can just live any kind of way. And we come into church and all of a sudden we pop through that front door and ta-da, ta-da. We put on our little Christian act. Hallelujah. Pick up our vocabulary for today. Come on, church, that don't get it. Jesus said, when you come and you remember, when you get ready to give and to worship and to God, He said, you remember that there's something wrong between you and somebody else. He said, don't sing another note. Don't do another thing till you go and get that right. How many Christians I've talked to over the years, they've carried unforgiveness for years. They're mad at people for years for something people did, for something people said, something somebody should have done that didn't do it. Some people have taken up an offense for somebody else. Somebody else saying you got hurt and they're mad about it too. And then, you know, and Jesus said first, what did He say? Did He say, okay, first, go be reconciled if they come to you first and they say they're sorry and they say they didn't mean it. He didn't, did He? He said, when you remember. He said, the first thing you do before you start to worship, you get it right. You know, I was reading about a story about a lady, and she had grown up in the country, you know, and of course she grew up and moved away and was married and everything. And later in life, her her parents finally died and she decided she was going to move back. She inherited the old homestead, you know, and she's going to move back and, you know, live in it. And it had been let go a little bit and she's going to fix it up. And one of the things she wanted to do was to clear out the well. Her dad had dug a well, you know, years ago. So she hired this crew and she said, you know, need to come in, you know, and dig the well out because, you know, stuff got in it over the years. And they came in and dug it out and they had a pile of stuff there. And she came out and looked at it and she said, nah, you're not through yet. Keep digging. So they went back and dug. Sure enough, they dug again. They found some more stuff. And they come to shore, and she saw that pile. She said, no, you're not through yet. Keep digging. And, you know, and they were scratching their head like, how did she know? You know, and so third time they came, dug it out and everything. They came back and showed the pile of stuff. And she looked at it, and she said, okay, you're through now. And Amanda Gaskas, he said, now how do you know we're through? She said, exactly. She was looking. She said, when I was a little girl, I dropped a teapot down in there. And she said, I knew when I saw that teapot, you know, that it was through. You know, she said, you know, the first thing in is the last thing out. And see, sometimes that's the way it is with forgiveness. It might be something, you know, that there might be a teapot in your life that was dropped in there a long time ago. An offense, a hurt, or something. Maybe somebody that's already gone on. They already died and gone on. You know, but you need, Jesus said, first you need to release them. Otherwise, you're never going to know the joy of worshiping God. You're never going to know the freedom and the liberty that comes from worshiping God. He said, we're talking about first things. First things. Look in Matthew 23. So forgiveness, what? Always precedes public worship. Doesn't matter how loud you come in here and shout, you can jump over three rows of these pews. But I'm going to tell you what, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, it's not worth anything. Matthew 23, we're talking about first things, divine order, first things. Matthew 23, we're going to pick it up in verse 25. Notice Jesus, he's talking to the religious people. He said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, because you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but within you're full from extortion and excess. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first. There's first again, the inside of the cup and the dish, and then its outside may also become clean. So here's the first thing is what? First, we clean the inside of our life before the outside. How many times we see people get saved and they come to the Lord, and the first thing we want to do is get them all straightened out outside. You know, get your hair cut, dress a certain way, do this, do that, do the other, you know. We don't like this, we don't like that. What? It's all externals. That's what religion does. Religion says, conform. You got to be just like me. You know, because we're running a Christian cookie factory. You know, and you know, every chocolate chip cookie is going to be like the last one was. Every Oreo is going to be just like the last one was. But here's the thing. Jesus, God said, first cleanse the inside. Now, how is that going to be cleansed? It's going to be cleansed, of course, first of all, we know we get born again, don't we? Titus 3:5, he talks about that. He said, you're washed and cleansed by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the working of the Holy Ghost. So in the new birth. But how many of you know that after the new birth, there's still some things in that area we call our soul that have to be dealt with, don't they? And how is that going to be cleansed? That's going to be cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. We get in there, in Ephesians 5, it talks about that, 26, you can read that. It says, we're cleansed by what? The washing of the water of the Word. We have to get in this Word and begin to scrub out our mind. Scrub out our thinking. Because, how many of you know when you get saved, you still think the same way you always did? You think the way the world trained you to think. You know, we're think to doubt. We're taught to worry. We're taught to fear. Whatever it may be. And our mind is not controlled by the Spirit through the Word of God, but rather our mind has been, really is controlled basically by our flesh. The appetites of our flesh have trained our mind. Your body has trained your mind. Your body says, I want that person. Your mind says, let's go get it. Your mind starts figuring out how to get it. Or how to get them. Or how to do it. Or how to meet it. Come on. And rather, he says, but you've got to learn what? To first, what Jesus said, what's most important is first the inside is more important than the outward appearance. The inward man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. We've got to get that. Make sure that that's right. Our motives, our attitudes. We've got to make sure that's right first. Come up here and sit up here in church. Act like we're all Holy Ghost people and baptized and, you know, speaking Bubba Bashunda and all that, and we're mad at people. Come on. We're mad at people. We're criticizing people. We're going home and having fried preacher for dinner. Listen, it's wrong to talk about the preacher just like it's wrong to talk about your brother and sister. It's wrong to talk. Listen, we oughtn't to be doing that. Listen, we got to what? We got to put first things first. He said, first the inside. We're so good at ordering everything, aren't we? Okay, this over here and that over here and this over here and that over there and this over here. We get it all just right. But here's the thing. God says, I'm looking on the inward heart, the inward man. What is your attitude? What's motivating you? What's ruling you? What are the appetites that are there, you know, that only you and God know about? Come on. It affects your life. It affects your whole life. That's what it is. We have to understand that. We have to get that cleaned out. The inside of us has to be cleaned out. He said, first, clean the inside. Then the outside will be cleaned. Matthew 7. So, oh, Pastor, I came to hear something deep. No, you came to hear this. You know, until you get this done, the deep things ain't going to matter. You know, we can talk all you want to about, you know, people come to me and talk to me about seeing angels and having visions and everything, and they've got the meanest old judgmental spirit about them. I know they ain't seen no angel. You ain't fooling me. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. Paul talked about some people. He said some people, the things they see, he said, they're just puffed up in their fleshly mind. That's what he said. You know, because people back then were having all kind of visions. Yeah, they were claiming to see angels. And, you know, and the angels were telling them that Jesus wasn't the one to worship. I mean, they had all kinds of stuff going on. Just because something supernatural happens to you don't necessarily mean it was God. The Bible says you're to judge things. Amen? Judge it by this word right here. But you judge the spirit behind it. So Matthew 7, you found that by now, haven't you? Verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Here's the thing. How many of you want to be judged? Then don't judge. Isn't that what he said? Because he said if you judge, you're going to be judged. He said, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. In other words, as hard and as critical and as harsh as you were in your judgment, that's how hard you're going to be judged. I don't want none of that. How about you? He said, and why do you behold the mote, the splinter that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is, or the plank that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, permit me to cast out the splinter out of your eye, and behold, the plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite. Uh-oh, Jesus didn't say that. The sweet, wonderful Jesus. Hypocrite. First, deal with the beam or the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Oh, boy. First, deal with the issues in your own life. First, if you want to judge somebody, you know, I remember years ago, Dad Hagin was talking about this person, said, you know, they had the gift of discernment. And their gift of discernment really was the gift of criticism and judgmentalism. You know, and he told him, he said, you know, if you turn that gift on yourself for about 5 minutes, you'd stop that. And it's funny how people can discern everything in the world in other people, but they can't just see. It's like Jesus said, he said, you can see the tiniest speck in other people's life, but you can't see that glaring telephone pole in yours. Selective vision. So he said, the first thing you got to do is first, he said, deal with the issues of your own life. And, you know, and I found out this many times, that criticism and judgmentalism, that thing that comes out of us toward other people, usually is there because, what, we haven't dealt with the things in our own life. And it's easier to deflect away the things that are not right in my own life if I'm constantly pointing the finger at somebody else. So, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, sleight of hand magician, you know. He gets you looking over here, and while you're looking over here, he does something over here. And you don't see it, you know. So the way they are, did you see the way they wore their hair? And they're over here. That way. Meanwhile, you don't see what's wrong with them. He said, the first thing we got to do is, he says, you got to deal with the plank in your own life. What's going on in your life? What are the areas in your life that are keeping God from moving, from keeping God from doing all that he wants to do in your life? If we don't deal with those things, you know, we can shout and talk about it, and we can have the prophet in, and the prophet can prophesy, and we can have people in. They can see visions and all that. But you know what? We're not going to go anywhere. First, we got to deal with these issues, because Jesus said what first? He didn't say first get the prophet in. He said first deal with these things. First. Now, sometimes, you know, if we're hard-headed enough, God can bring a prophet in and try to knock you upside the head. Spiritual head, I'm talking about. Amen. To get your attention. You think, look at Jesus. What do you mean, knock you upside the head? Well, when Jesus said hypocrite, that got their attention. I mean, they were the cream de la cream. They were the rulers of the synagogue. They were the priests. Jesus said, first, he said, you got to deal with the things in your own eye. Galatians 6, we don't have time, but first three verses, Paul said this. He said, if any of you brethren, be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, here's the thing. What do we do in the church? Oh, man, if anybody be overtaken in a sin, what do? We broadcast it. Oh, yeah. Yakety, yakety, yak. We choose up sides. We take sides. We throw rocks at the people on the other side. And then we come in here on Sunday. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hypocrite. It's what Jesus said. I'm just quoting what he said. You say, oh, Pastor, this is hard. I know it. So was Calvary. It's hard getting a nail driven through your hand. Boy, it's awful quiet in this full gospel church. First things first. He said what? He said in the spirit of meekness. He said in the spirit of meekness. He said what? Restore. He didn't say criticize. He didn't say kill. He didn't say excommunicate. Come on. Oh, man, somebody miss it? We don't. That's it for them. Bless God. Run them out of the church, Pastor. Well, you know what? If the searchlight was turned on you, that's what he says. He said in the spirit of meekness. Amen? Because we only stand by the grace of God, don't we? Listen, I know you say, oh, this is so basic. I know it, and we got to get back to it. Because he said this is divine order. He said first. Amen? So we got to deal with these things. Oh, here's one. Here's an oldie but a goodie. You're right there. Matthew 6, 33. You probably can quote it, can't you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What? And all these other things will be added to you. So here's the thing. He said, the kingdom of God before myself and my needs. Uh-oh. The kingdom of God before what? Myself and my needs. To expand the kingdom. To live by the kingdom. Even if it costs me. We don't know too much in America about a Christianity that cost us anything. I guarantee you, if we cut the air conditioners off in this building, there, you know, half of you leave before the service is over. It's too hot. Why don't they get it fixed? Come on. I mean, we don't know anything about cost. Man, I can remember being in the Amazon jungle, Mickey. I mean, bless God, I'm going to tell you what. Forget air conditioning. You'd just be glad if you had a light. I mean hot. Woo, hot. Man, they had spiders bigger than your hand. They jump from me to you, Lance. Easy. All kinds of stuff. Man, I'm telling you what. Those people. Man, dirt floor. Church was dirt. Dirt floor. Had planks across, you know, some old stumps, logs they sawed off and put them down. And that was it. Chickens and the goats. You up there preaching and the chicken and the goats walked through. Man, place would be packed out. Yeah, I mean, you have to get them. You just have to make them stop worshiping God. We got to go to the next. Just stop, will you? I mean, we've been going an hour. Stop. We got to move on to the next thing. See, we wonder, why do they have miracles? Well, here's the thing. You have what you want. We have what we want in the church. What? Comfort? Entertainment? Come on. Isn't that true? You know. Get a good enough worship band, and a good enough this, and a good enough that, and good enough the other, and you draw the people in. But what happened to Jesus? What happened to that in the mix? What happened to seek first the kingdom of God instead of our own needs and putting it first? That's kind of hard, isn't it? Luke 21. Let me give me just a few more minutes here. Two of you, that's all I need. Two of you shall agree. I know, taking it out of the context. Listen, this is what we need. We got to remember to put first things first. We talked about divine order. 21, and I want to read just one verse here, 34. Listen to this. But take heed to everyone else. No, he said, take heed to yourself. To yourself. To yourself. Lest at any time your hearts, your spirits, be weighed down with gluttony and drunkenness, anxieties pertaining to life, and that day come upon you suddenly as a snare. Notice what he says. He says, take care. He says, because what? He said, all the things and the cares of life can weigh you down to the point to where what? Your spirit gets weighed down. And that all of a sudden everything else is more important. It's more important than spiritual things. We're more concerned about paying the bills. We're more concerned. Listen, I mean, if I would like for you, I wouldn't suggest you do this, but just as a mind game, we'll play it. If you were as faithful to your job as you are to church, and become as faithful to church as you are to your job, I wonder what that would look like. I wonder what it would look like. You know? You ever got up in the morning and thought, I don't want to go to my job this morning? Anybody ever thought that besides me? I don't want to go to work. How many of you went anyway? There you are. Isn't that true? Same thing with us. In spiritual things. You say, I don't feel like praying. Join the crowd. I don't feel like coming to church. Join the crowd. You know? Sometimes I feel like, you know, I've told you that humorous story. But, you know, the wife comes in, wake up her husband. You need to get up and get ready to go to church. I don't want to, said, and rolls back over. A few minutes later, she come back in. Says, hey, honey, you need to get up and get dressed and get ready for church. I don't want to, and rolls back over. So finally, the third time she come in, look. We're going to be late. You know, you got to get up and get dressed and go to church. Well, I don't want to. Why have I got to go? Because you're the pastor. You know, I don't know. People think pastors are just somehow, you know, we just live up in an ivory tower and then on Sundays we come down. You know? But, you know, we have to use deodorant and brush our teeth. All the things you do. Amen. They don't give me my electricity free because I'm a pastor. You know, it's all. So I understand that. But here's the thing. What we have to make a choice, don't we? I'm going to choose to put first things first. And listen, if I can do it, if any one of us in here can do it, all of us can do it. It's just we haven't trained ourselves to do it. We've just let our old flesh just do whatever it wanted to do. You know? It don't matter. We're just going to do what we want to do. You know? And then we wonder why God doesn't move in our life. Why we're not seeing the promises of God come to pass. Why we don't see the miracles. Why we don't see our life making a difference. All of the things that we hear preached and taught. And pretty soon, you know, if you let your flesh rule you all the time, sooner or later, you know what's going to happen? You're going to backslide. Because you're going to get tired of hearing a word like this. See, if you're seeking first the kingdom, if you're putting the Spirit first, the message like this, you just rejoice in. But if your flesh is ruling you, oh, you don't like it. You don't like it. Oh, yeah. And man, you know, next Sunday comes, I don't know, man. I wish if I knew Pastor was going to preach one of those, you know, those bless me sermons about how God's going to bless me, I'll be sure to come. But boy, if it's going to be one of them tough ones where he's going to start talking about crucifying the flesh and putting God first and all those kind of things and examining my own heart before God and all this prayer and fasting stuff, I think, boy, he's just gone off the deep end. One last scripture, and then I'm going to close here. Revelation chapter 2. One last verse I want to mention. There are a lot of others, but... And that is first love. First love. First love. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. But I have it against you that you left... your first love. Now, how would you like that report about you? He said, yeah, you've done all this other stuff. But here's the thing. You've left your first love. Where is our love for Jesus? Where is... Guys, remember when you were... You're dating that lady that's your wife now. Can you remember that? Oh, Lord of mercy. It preoccupied your thought. Man, you know, if you owned a car, you washed that thing. Man, you washed it up, didn't you? Man, you washed that car up, man, going on a date. Clean that thing up. You know, hung one of those little Christmas tree things in there, you know, make it smell good. That you know, date myself. So, you know, but you did, I mean, you know, and boy, I mean, you know, you'd spend your last dime. Worked that job all week, you know. Had, you know, maybe $20. Hot dog. Spent every dime. I flat broke the rest of the week. But you didn't care. Why? Because you were in love. Didn't matter. You know, get in the car, where you want to go. Where you want to go? What do you want to do? Well, you want to please that person. Isn't that right? First love. What about Jesus? Remember when you were in love with Jesus like that? Oh, glory to God. Man, I don't care, man. I love you, Jesus. You worshiped him. You live for him. You're in the Word. You're in prayer. You just love God. Your heart was tender. You know, you weren't upset. Pastor went to 10 after 12. You're supposed to get out at 12. Why? You were in love. You were in love with Jesus. You loved him. First. Remember what I said? Whatever we put first will determine the rest of the order in our life. If you will take the firsts, just the ones. And there are many others we could have looked at. You take and look at these first, and you examine your heart. And there's an area where you're not putting first things first. Then I would encourage you, you know, make a decision today to change that. I'm going to put it first. I'm going to put first things first. I'm not going to put it second. I'm not going to put it third. I'm going to put it first. Because I'm promise you, one thing I'm sure about, none of us are going to live in these present bodies forever. One of these days, I hope it's a long time off, But even compared to eternity, a long time off is not all that long, is it? So I hope you live a long, long, long life. But here's the thing. One of these days, we will appear before the Lord. And won't we be glad that we put first things first? Won't we be glad that we put Him first? Because, you know, I'm going to tell you, nobody on their deathbed is worried about their savings account. Or if there's a second coat of wax on their car. Or if the lawn has been cut properly. Isn't that right? They're thinking, I'm telling you what, they're putting first things first. But why wait till then? Why waste all that time? Wait till then. You might not even have a chance to get it first. But today, you have an opportunity. If you'd bow your heads just for a moment, please. Everyone, please. You're here and you say, Pastor Lawrence, God spoke to me through this message. And there are some things that God has spoken to me, and I need to put them first. And I, with the help of God, I intend to put them first. Would you please just pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you would, if you'll lift your hand, I want to just pray for you and say, I'm going to put first things first. I see hands all over the building. If you just hold them up just for a moment, I'm going to say a prayer, not a long one. Father, you see these hands. And Lord, you said in an honest and a good heart, you can work. Thank God for honest hearts. Thank God for honest hearts before you. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them by the spirit of might and power in the inner man, that they will do and put back into divine order first things first. Father, I pray that you would help me as the pastor here, Lord. I want to make sure that I am diligent, that I will be an example, oh God, of putting first things first at all times and in all places. Thank you, Father. Thank you for working your will in our lives. You can put your hands down. If you keep your heads bowed for 1 second longer. If you're here this morning, you just say, Pastor Norris, I don't know if I were to die today. I don't know if I would go to heaven or not. I don't know for sure that I've ever been born again or my sins have been forgiven. But I want to be sure. I want to pray and ask Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Would you lift your hand? Anybody in the room? And I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you see this hand, and I thank you, Lord, that you give assurance. Assurance, oh God, because you said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, they shall be saved. And right now, Lord, as he opens his heart, as he put his faith in you, I think that there will be an assurance, a knowing that he is born again, that his sins are forgiven. Lord, you make a promise, you always keep it. You're no respecter of persons. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for salvation in this life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. It's been good today? Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Well, you don't have to clap. You can give him a clap if you want to. He's the only one that deserves one. Amen. Ever so often here at Grace, we have what we call a get acquainted time immediately following the service. It usually lasts about 15 minutes or so, and it'll be back here in the fellowship hall. If you're a first-time visitor or if you're just new here at Grace, maybe you've been coming but you're new, it's just a time for Cindy and I to kind of meet with you informally. We'll share a little bit about ourselves, about the vision, about how you can get involved in the church if you're interested. And you can ask some questions if you have some questions you want to ask. And if I don't know the answer, Cindy will, because she's a lot smarter than me. Prettier, too. Hallelujah. But Brother Rick's going to come in just a minute. He's going to make some announcements and dismiss us. After he prays the dismissal, then we'll meet. You can follow us. We'll go right out this doorway, this hallway, back to the fellowship hall. Praise God. Brother Rick, you want to come on? Hallelujah. Well, did you have a good time with God today? Get ministered to.
Things first. Keep the main thing the main thing. That's right. And the main thing should be your relationship with the Lord. Praise God.